The first lesson is taken from Amos, chapter 5, verses 6 through 7 and 10 through 15. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, they hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, who turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. As you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those that heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting up on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, looked him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated as we sing "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Just a closer walk with thee. Send me praises if you please. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be
that as fine as long as I walk here, Lord, close to me. Just I felt the toilet's near. If I only knew my cares, when with me you burn and share, none but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. My feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. On that bright eternal shore, I will walk in the old coast.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This was how the problem started. He asked, "What must I do?" The rich man probably had never run into this problem before. I bet whoever he asked, whenever he was asked, "What must I do?" people had an answer for him. After all, he was rich, we're told. Rich people can do anything, right? I think that was probably believed even more so in Jesus' day. We all know because of the tabloids and TV shows that the rich and powerful can't always do everything they want. To begin with, Jesus tells him not what to do, but ask him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." There was quite a bit of irony in Jesus' words, of course. Then instead of telling the man what to do, he told him what not to do. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. The man, in response, then lied and said that he had done all these things since his youth. We are all liars if we think we have done all these things since our youth. None of us think we've killed anybody, but of course, when Martin Luther described the Ten Commandments, he did so in such a way as to tell us that we're all sinners. A long time ago, I was in Wichita as leading an adult information class, and we had a couple that was coming from one of the mega churches. And, they liked what we said about Scripture, and they liked the liturgy, and they liked the service. But the wife had a lot of problems with Holy Communion and baptism, infant baptism. But after struggling with that for about a year, she finally became part of the church. Now, her mother wasn't Lutheran, and her mother was afraid for her immortal soul. And she said, "Well, I guess at least you're going to pray and keep the Ten Commandments." And she said, "Oh, no, Pastor Meese taught us that we don't keep any of the commandments." I don't think the mother found any comfort in my teaching at all. When we look at our thoughts, words, and deeds the way Martin Luther taught us to do with each commandment, we fail to keep them all. We fail because we fail to fear and love God as we ought. And when we fail that first commandment, we fail all 10 of them. The young man in the story did not fear and love God. It was revealed when Jesus finally told him what he could do to inherit eternal life. All he had to do was sell everything that he had and give it to the poor. The young man could not do that because he had great possessions. And when we fail to fear and love God, we too fail to give all that we have. And like him, we go away sorrowful. Some of us, sometimes think that we're perfect. Well, I'm really just talking to all of you who are firstborn children, like me, who think that you're perfect. Your brother and sisters, if you had any, probably disagree with that statement. I know I wanted to be the perfect pastor. That was my goal in life, to be perfect. And you know, when you try to become perfect in everything that you do, nobody really likes you very much. You become slick, and no one can hang on to you. So I'm trying to be less slick. Sometimes it still drips off me a little bit, but you know. Many of us, regardless of our birth orders, beat ourselves up when we do things that are wrong. Or we get into relationships that beat us up. And we come to a good God and we ask, what can I do? What can I do? And our good God still wonders why we call him good. If we receive the punishment we all deserve, none of us would be calling God good. If we all spent our eternity in hell because God condemned us to spend our eternity there, none of us would be calling God good. The irony, of course, is that we do have a good God and a good teacher. Not only does he demand perfection, but he provides it to us through Jesus. There's nothing we can do to inherit eternal life. But it comes to us as a free and perfect gift. Only by the blood of Jesus, who redeems us from all of our thoughts, words, and deeds. I can do nothing. God has done it all through Christ. He went to the cross, a perfect man, to be sacrificed there for the sins of the whole world. And he paid the full penalty for our sin by being separated from the love of his Father. He's the one that received all of God's wrath and anger on the cross. And in doing so, he paid for our sins. Sometimes I think we have the idea that Jesus carried all our sins to the cross like great big bags of manure threw over his shoulder. That would have been easy. He didn't just carry our sins, but for us, he became sin. He absorbed sin. When God, his heavenly Father, looked down at him on the cross, he didn't see that perfect son, but he saw the most wretched person who had ever lived on the face of the earth. God wasn't good to Jesus on the cross. Jesus called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It might be our nature to walk away sorrowful when we hear this story. But when we know what God has done for us, Jesus gladly went to the cross and became sin and took on the punishment for all of us. He did so because Jesus loves you. God loves you. There's nothing you must do. God has done it all. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.